So we want to discuss some of the exclusions. The last number of weeks we were talking about Hutra and Dechuya, which is really a foundational aspect of Yibum. And today we want to turn our attention to the question of the Pturim, the various Pturim, that the various exclusions of Yibum and Chalitza as well. So the Mishnah, as we know, lists 15 Erevahs. The 15 Erevahs are all excluded, you know, from Yibum and Chalitza, and they also, in addition, they exclude the Tzara. As we know, we've seen this Mishnah, right? Kamesha, Shrei Nashim, Potros, Tzoroseim, Tzoros, Tzoroseim, Mina Chalitza, Mina Yibum, Atzof, Ha'olam, etc. The question is, are there additional categories of or candidates for Yibum that also are not only excluded, but also exclude the co-wives that are not mentioned in the Mishnah? So there's a bit of a like an enterprise to figure that out. So for example, the Balei Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, this is one of the things that we'll look at in the next few weeks. The bottom Tosfos, Achos Ishto, we're not going to start with this, so I'm just giving it as an example, says, Ein lahakshos the nida ti aser liyava. Basically, in the version of some of the other Rishonim, the question is asked a little more pointedly in terms of the Mishnah, and actually could be very important, which is like the Mishnah mentions 15 women who are excluded and whose tzaros are also excluded from Yibum and Chalitza. But, there's another one. Let's say she was a Nida. Let's say one of the women was a Nida, Bishas Misa Sabal, at the beginning of the Zika. So at that point, she was in the category of an Erva, meaning, in the Parsha of Arayos and Achremos, Nida is one of the Arayos. And if that's the case, so she was excluded. At that moment, she wasn't a Yibum candidate. And if she wasn't the Yibum candidate, then maybe she's always excluded. But especially if the question really is, why isn't this included in the Mishnah? So the implication of the question is not only, that a Nida maybe should be forever excluded from Yibum and Chalitza, but from Yibum, but also from Chalitza, right, which is a question. And even more remarkably, it sounds, like the questioner, not necessarily Artosis, but, certainly the ones who are asking that this should have been included in the Mishnah, is suggesting that if one of the co-wives was a Nida at the moment of Misa Sabal, then everybody else should be Potter as well. That's a very, remarkable, suggestion. It, you have to look at it. So it's it sounds like like a what I call a Minchas Chinuch question, or a Mishnah L'Melech question, one of those questions like, what's wrong with this question? Like, it can't be so, but the question is like, but you have to explain it. What is the takeaway? What are the implications of why this isn't true? It should be true, but it can't be true. So what is the conclusion to be reached? But again, we're not going to talk about Nida right now, but it should be noted that Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz on Daf Tes Amud Aleph goes much further than the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim pretty much want to explain, why this isn't a problem, or at least why it isn't a problem, that affects also Tzoros. What about Chalitza? Maybe even permanently doesn't even exclude them. The Nida. But the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz basically says that, ask the question in the Mishnah way, like, why isn't this included? Why isn't this number 16, let's say, of the Mishnah? And, his conclusion is, it's not mentioned in the Mishnah for the following reason, and he explains it, but the simple reading of Rabbeinu Peretz is, that's why it's not in the Mishnah, but it's true. So that's very remarkable. Anyways, so that's one example that we're going to look into. Another example is Tosfos on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We're also not going to do that right away. But we'll do that probably second. Tosfos on Daf Yud Amud Aleph asks, it's important to know these questions even before we analyze them. If you look on top, Tosfos, Bim Tomar, Tosfos says, also, Lisni, another one of these, like, why isn't it in the Mishnah? You know, this could have been number, you know, number 16. Lisni, Eishasish, Shapoteres, rather, Tsarasa. What do you mean, Eishasish? How could Eishasish, you know, be a Yibum candidate? That's a tricky question, right? If she's an Eishasish, I mean, she's married to someone. She's married to someone, she's not a Yibum candidate. Ah, so the answer is, it's, you know, if that was a Minchas Chinuch question, this is like, you know, a Mishnah Melech, you know, Hechtimsi. But it's based on the Gemara, and it's really Rishalmi's question originally, and that is as follows. What would happen? For example, Kigon de Amar La, Hareza Giteich, Amana Shilotinasi Leploni. The pligi ba'amagareh, shabalazar v'rabana. The rabalazar have a get, yasura leploni. So this is the case, this is the scenario, we'll come back to it. The case is that, you know, these people were married, and then they got divorced. So in a typical divorce, this is last year's themes, you know, they're typically, a divorce is harayat muteres l'chalada, meaning there are no strings. It should be a davar kores beino leveina, and certainly there should be no shiur, shin yud vav resh, no remnant of that ishus. So typically, when there's a divorce, you know, the woman can marry anybody she wants, you know, from the perspective of ishus ish. But what happens? This is the beginning of the last parak of Gittin, parak Avagaresh. What happens if he says to her, you know, Hare at Mugureshes, or Hare at Muteres l'kol Adam, right, Chutz miploni. Or another scenario, this is a discussion of the Gemara about the relationship between them, Almanas Shalotinasi l'ploni. So he says to her, basically, we're going to be divorced, here's your get, but either as a condition, or as a shiur of the get, right, that this, you know, you're mutter to marry anybody except for Ploni. If you marry Ploni, right, then it's from the perspective of Ploni, if it's a Tnai, then the get isn't Chal, so she's an Eishes Ish. Or if it's a Shior, it means the Heter Ishos and the status of Gusha applies to everyone but Ploni. As far as Ploni is concerned, you're still married to me. I've retained my our marriage vis-a-vis Ploni. Now, the question is whether you can do that or not. That's the discussion of Laza and Rabbanan. But assuming you can do that or something like that, so then what would happen in the following scenario? Like, this happens. Like, you know, Reuven is married to, oh, let's not say it that way. Avram is married to Sarah, and they get divorced. And he says, Chutz nei Shimon. But you know, either as a condition or as a shiur beged, he says you can't marry Shimon, right? As far as Shimon is concerned, you're an Eishes Ish. So then, you know, she's not looking for trouble, right? So she doesn't marry Shimon, she just marries his brother. So she marries Reuven, right? She accepts her get from Abraham, and off she goes, and she marries, you know, a perfect stranger, you know, who's not affected by this shiur or tanai by the name of Reuven. Except that, you know, she is playing a little bit with fire, because Reuven is the brother of Shimon, who is the named party in the chutz or the almanas. So then, of course, you know, life, you know, being the way that it is, or this is a hecha tipsi in the Gemara at least, of course Reuven dies without any children. So now she's omedes as a Yibum candidate to Shimon, but Shimon, she has this, you know, extremely, you know, complicated, you know, relationship with, because vis-a-vis Shimon, she's still married to Abraham, or that's if it's chutz, or if it's almanas, it's if she were to go ahead, you know, and consummate some sort of a marriage with Shimon, then igloi milsa lamafreya, that she always would still have retained her status as an Eishes Ish of Avraham. So that is a scenario in which there's a potential scenario where a Yibum candidate, you know, is prohibited. You know, the obstacle to the Yibum is because she is an Eishes Ish, or because it will trigger the status of Eishes Ish, right? So believe it or not, this is a question that appears in one form in the Yerushalmi in Gittin, and the Bali Tosos, you know, picked up on it, and then the Ramban and the Rashba, everybody weighs in, everybody loves this, you know, this question. There's a lot to say about it, as we'll see. So that's what these words mean. V'im tomar, listen, Eishes Ish, shepoteres tzarasa. Maybe Eishes Ish should be in the Mishnah too. Why? Why? Kigon de Amar La, for example, if, let's say, her previous husband, Avraham, says to her, Hareza Giteich, Amana Shalotinasi Laploni, on condition that you not marry Shimon. The Pligi Bamagarish, that's an argument in Gittin. Rabbalazar Rabbanan, the Rabbalazar have a get. That's a legitimate get. Viasura Laploni. And she's therefore off limits to Shimon. But Im Nisei's Lachid, if she went ahead, she wasn't violating that condition or that shiur, and she married Ruvain, not Shimon, but Umeis, and then she dies without, and then he dies, Ruvain, without children. So now, you know, as a candidate to Shimon, it should be Poteres Tzarasa. Right? So that's another example. And then in the Gemara that I'm going to discuss, and then the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, something we've mentioned briefly previously. So the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, this is on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, a little bit, you know, I would say 3/5 down from the top of the page, or 2/5 up from the bottom of the page. The Gemara says, you see, there's like an Aleph there. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Tzaras Sota Asura, Tuma Ksivba Karayas. We talked about this a little bit. We talked about, you know, Tzaras Erva, and we're going to talk more about it. But the din itself is a very remarkable halacha. The simple reading is, the Gemara says that according to Rav, that that if a woman is a Sota, we had it, the Gemara mentions this also, you know, previously on Dav Gimel on a base, the Gemara says, you know, the Mishnah counts 15, you know, but we can all count, so it's Lemute Mai. So one of the Deos in the Gemara is that it's Lemute Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, this line about Tzaras Sotas. So what's the case? As Rashi explains, the case is, and he explains it on Gimel and Beis as well, Haya Nasri Beis Nashim, let's say Ruvain has two wives, let's say, you know, Rachel and Leah, there's two wives, not sisters, but two wives, right? The Zinsa Ha'achas Tachtav, and let's say, you know, Rachel was unfaithful to him, you know, during the marriage. So he had two wives. One of his wives was a Sota, right? The Yesh Edim, and this is Vadai. We know this to be the fact. And then Nes Balabanim, you know, and then he dies. He doesn't leave any children. So now he leaves two potential Yevama candidates, one of whom is a Sota, who betrayed him in the marriage, and the other one is, you know, her co-wife, who was a perfectly faithful, loyal, you know, wife. So the question is, he, the Tzarasa, Pturos, so the din of Rab is, Rab says, that she, meaning Rachel, who was unfaithful, and Leah, not her sister, but her co-wife, who was perfectly, you know, exemplary, you know, in all of her behavior, both of them are excluded from Yibum and Chalitza. Af mina Chalitza, my taima tuma ksivba v'nistra v'hi nitma. Ke'arayos v'ksiv al tetamu v'chol eila. So this is a very, we'll see if everybody agrees, but this is certainly how Rashi and Tosfos read the Gemara. So we have to talk about Nida, we have to talk about Eishes Ish, we have to talk about this discussion here, a tzaras, a sota and a tzaras sota, right? And then the Gemara on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, in this context, brings up Masu Grushaso and tsaras machzor gushaso. So if you have that here also, we'll get to it, but just the case, just to be clear, is here. If you look here on Yud Aleph Omid Beis, this is about 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, I'd say 21 or so lines down on the first word on the line. But you see the Tosis, Tsarasa Mahu, right? So it's like four lines lower than that. Is Boy Minei Rav Yehuda Merav Sheshes. Hamachse Gushaso Mishanises Umeis Tsarasa Mahu. So what is that? Similar case. So the rule is that, as we talked about last year, we talked a lot about Machzor Gushaso, because in the Parsha of Gittin, right? I emphasized it a lot for, I think, good reason. We'll probably revisit that, when we talk about this topic. So what happened here was, the rule is that there's a Machzor Gushaso Beheter and there's a Machzor Gushaso Beiser. Okay? So let's take the scenario that everybody agrees with, and that is, everybody agrees that if there was a divorce, not a Kohen, let's say a regular Yisrael divorces his wife, they get divorced, and then she does not remarry. Not Erisin, not Nisuin. So then there's a heter of Machzor Gushaso. As long as he's not a Kohen, right, so there's a heter of Machzor Gushaso. However, if she, gets married, right, then everybody agrees that there's an Iser Machzor Gushaso. The debate that the Gemara discusses here is, let's say she, was Mekabel Kiddushin, she had Erisin, but not Nisuin. Then it's a Machlokas, what we call Rabbi Yossi Ben Kiper, and the Chachamim. Okay, so let's take the easy scenario. Let's say you have a Machzor Gushaso B'Iser. So in other words, let's say Reuven married, Rachel and Leah. Let's say he got divorced from Rachel. He was always married to Leah. But he got divorced from Rachel. Rachel went off and married some other person who subsequently either divorced her or died, right? And now there was a rapprochement between Reuven and Rachel, an illegal rapprochement. In other words, so he marries her. The kiddushin will be chal, because it's chai be'lavin, but there's tisas kiddushin, it's not chai be'krisus. So illegally, meaning against the din, but it's tofes, Reuven remarried, right, Rachel, and he was always married from the beginning to the end, but without any issue, to Leah. So the question is, Masu Gushaso Be'iser, what's the status of that with regard to Yibum and Chalitza? And if it's excluded, right, does it also disqualify Leah? Right? So that these are four cases that we're going to examine. There are probably more than four we'll look at. In all these, the reason I'm putting these four cases together with the fifth that we're going to start with, is because in all these cases, we want to look at, what the obstacle, in question is. Is it an obstacle that is a maisa aveira? And if so, what level of aveira? A lav, right, a chai bekrisus. That's one perspective that we want to look at. Is this prohibited because it would be a maisa aveira notwithstanding the nitzvah saseh of Yibum? Or is the issue in these cases beyond the aveira, that would result from implementing Yibum? Maybe the problem is a legal formal one, namely that, her status excludes her. Even if, or separate from, what would happen if they were actually to go through with the Yibum. Okay? So that in all these four cases, I'll just give you, quick, like in Nida, for example, we'll take each one separately, but in Nida, for example, Nida's chai v'krisus. It's an erva. So obviously, you know, there would be a lechatchila iser for sure to be miyabim her tzchai bekrisus. Okay. At the same time, even though nida's in the parsha of erva, right? There is tfisas kiddushin for nida, right? It's the exception to the rule that chai bekrisus are excluded from kiddushin, and we'll see that gemara in just a minute. And you know, the point is, you know, that nida as a status is not a stira to yibum. The problem with nida is implementing yibum. So that's a way of isolating one facet. Eishes ish, you know, is very, in a way, the case of eishes ish that we were talking about before may very well be similar to that, because you're not dealing with a straightforward eishes ish. Right? A straightforward eishes ish, you know, would be a conundrum. It wouldn't make sense. It would be a paradox. You can't have somebody who's an eishes ish and a yibum candidate. So what you really have is a situation, mostly, the way the Bali Ptosis, you know, put it also, which is the obstacle to doing yibum is the iser of eishes ish. But right now, she's not an eishes ish. You know, she only would trigger the iser of eishes ish, you know, if you were to be miyabim. So, is that enough of a pgam and a psul, you know, to exclude even chalitza and also to disqualify a tzara? Right? Highly questionable. So what I'm trying to show is each of these cases test, right, what the problem of the Mishnah of Erva really is. Is the problem of Erva the status of Erva, you know, prior to and as a candidate? Or is the problem, you know, anticipating, well, if you're going to go through with this, you're going to, you know, cause, you know, isurim that are not justified. So is it an implementation problem, or is it a disqualification based on the status of the gavra problem? Okay, a sota and a masu grushaso, you know, are in a way the opposite problem, because, you know, sota at most is chai ve'lavin, masu grushaso is chai ve'lavin. They're both subject to tfisas kiddushin. In both cases, you could apply, in theory, the principle of ase docha los ase, because they're only los ases. So from the heter maisa yibum perspective, there's no real obstacle. The problem of masa grishaso and the problem of sota is that there's a formal status that the Gemara introduces based on the psukim, and that is that the Torah calls each of these tumah, v'nitma, or v'hutama. And tumah is associated with erva, because in the Parsha of Arayos, but it's also called tumah. So there you have like a situation where legally, formally, tumah is ke'erva, so it's like, oh, the yibum candidate, you know, or candidates in the case of Masu Grishaso and Sota, are ervas. Can an erva be a candidate for yibum, for chalitza? Maybe it should even disqualify a tzara. Even though, right, the actual concrete isurim are not isurim that normally, right, would hinder yibum, because ase dokalos ase. And certainly they're not erva with respect to, you know, disqualifying tzisas kiddushin, right? So that's why I picked these four to examine. It's kind of a litmus test to, you know, to further explore the nature of yibum and the obstacles to yibum, chalitza, and the application of tzaras sot. But I want to begin with a fifth one, and I mentioned this last time, and that is the din of Rabbi Akiva. I think that also highlights all of this very, you know, in a very interesting way. So let's begin with Rabbi Akiva. So the background of Rabbi Akiva is the Mishnah on Mem Dalid Omid Aleph. Let's look at that for a moment. It's also in the Mar Makomos. Mem Tes Omid Aleph. Let's start with Mem Dalid Omid Aleph and then Mem Tes Omid Aleph, very briefly. And then we'll spend a few minutes on Rabbi Akiva, and then we'll go back to the others. Okay. So the Mishnah says on Mem Dalid Amud Aleph that Hamasigu Shaso, right? Everybody have it? Towards the bottom of the page. It's also in the Bar Mikomos. Hamasigu Shaso, what does it mean, Hamasigu Shaso? Be'isr, right? Because our two, as we noted. So Hamasigu Shaso, Rashi adds, Misha Nises, meaning the one that is prohibited. V'hanosei Chalutsaso, what does that mean? That means that he, let's say you have a Yibum situation, and the male candidate for Yibum, right, he elects to do Chalitza. So let's say Ruvain, right, the brother, the Yavam, does Chalitza with Sarah. He's chalitzes her. And now, after the Chalitza, he decides he wants to, you know, he wants to marry her. He wants to have a physical relationship with her. Right? Similar to what we discussed on Dav Yud, Amud Beis, the discussion of Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, etc. So at minimum, we could be Paschal like Rabbi Yochanan, but at minimum, there's a lav. Because the Tussock says, you know, Asher lo yivneh, and the limud is, you know, Misha lo bana, he had his chance to be Miyabimer. If he wasn't Miyabimer, he was Choleitzer, then, you know, lo yivneh. Then it's, you know, going forward, he has no right to build, you know, a family with her, right? So that's why Anose Chalutzaso, that's what Rashi says. Anose Chalutzaso, the kaima love, the love, the shuv lo yivneh. Right? That's a love. So these two are lavin. Vanose krovas chalutzasa. This is the problem case in the Mishnah. Let's say he's cholates. Let's say Reuven is cholates Sarah. And let's say Sarah has a sister. Okay, Rivka. Right. So let's say he now wants to marry Krovas, the sister of his Chalutza. So the Mishnah seems to say that that is a lav, and therefore in all these, the Gemara is going to attack that. So the Gemara will discuss that. So the Mishnah says about all these cases, Yotzi, if he attempts to have a marital relationship, and if their child is produced in a, you know, relationship between these individuals, Yotzi v'Havlad Mamzer Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that these are all Chai De Lavin, right? Or we'll say even though they're only Chai De Lavin, right? The Kiddushin would not be Tofes, and the child produced from such a relationship would be a Mamzer. Let's look at Rashi. Fine. And then the Mishnah concludes, the Chachamim Omrim ain avlad mamzer. The Chachamim disagree. As we'll see in a moment, their view is that mamzer and absence of tefisas kiddushin requires a higher level of violation. What that is, we'll see in a moment. And therefore, from their point of view, even though these are prohibited relationships, don't get me wrong, you're not allowed to have a relationship with a machzor gushaso or with a chalutzaso, etc. But the consequences are not quite as dire, meaning it doesn't produce a mamzer, there is tfisas kiddushin. Umodim benosei kruva krovas gushaso. They do agree, however, that let's say krovas gushaso means, let's say, you know, he was married, a regular marriage, right? He was married, Reuven was married to Sarah, okay? And Sarah had a sister, or Sarah had a mother, right? So, of course, while he's married to this woman, you know, achos ishto, aim ishto, which is, you know, these are prohibited. But the Mishnah is telling us something which we already know, which is that even after a get, krovas gushaso is also asur, and not only are these asur relationships, even after the gerushin, they remain erva relationships. These are part of the minyan arayos in Parshas Achrimos. And therefore, even the Chachamim would agree that if he were to have a relationship with his ex-wife, meaning after Gerushin's mother or sister, right, that would be erva, and the child produced would be a mamzer. This is an important Mishnah in Yevamos. So this Mishnah is basically recording the debate between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, whether Chai de Lavin produce a mamzer. Now the Gemara discusses it a little bit. The Savar Rabbi Akiva, says the Gemara, Hanose, Kruvas, Kovas, Chalutzasai, Havlat, Mamzer. So the only thing that Gemara is, you know, concerned about is what, even Krovas, Chalutzaso, meaning, let's say, Ruvain, you know, did Chalitza with Sarah, and Sarah has a sister. So the prohibition, you know, to have any future relationship with that sister is that that's not, you know, Achos Ishto, it's Achos Zikukaso, and it's La'achar Chalitza, right? Because she didn't become his wife. So that is the Raisa, and the child is a mamzer. Hamrei Shlakish, Kan Shana Rebbe, Achos Grusha Midivrei Torah, Achos Chalutza Midivrei Sofrim. They say in the name of Rebbe that the sister of his ex-wife, meaning real wife, but through get ex, is a erva, and that's the Raisa. But the sister or the mother of his chalutza, meaning somebody that who is his shomeres yavam, where he had a zika relationship with, you know, after the chalitza, that's only an isud rabbanan, it's not an isud araisa, therefore it shouldn't create a mamzer. Says the Gemara, Tani, krovas, grushaso, the Mishnah should have said, masu grushaso, no se chalutzaso, and no se krovas, grushaso. It's a wrong text. So Achanani Mistabra, Viktani Seifo Modim Inose Krovas Gushaso Shavlad Mamzer. And the Seifo, the Mishnah says the Chachamim disagree, right? But they agree in the case of Krovas Gushaso. So as the Gemara says, the Amr Spishlama Ayriba, if the Reisha also speaking about Krovas Gushaso, Hainu Viktani Modim. So they say, oh, there are three cases that Rabbi Akiva thinks are Mamzerus, right? And the absence of Tisas Kiddushin, and the Chachamim disagree with two, but they agree with one. That's the way to read the Mishnah. Eli Amr so Ayriba, but if we're not talking to the Mishnah about Krovas Grushaso, but Krovas Chalutzaso, Mayu Modim, what do you mean the Chachamim agree, you know, in the, this isn't the case that we were even speaking about, right? The Dilma says the Gemara Kamashmon, the Yesh Mamzer Mechai Bekrisus, Haktoni lala kamon. What's the Mishnah says? The point is to teach you the din that mamzer requires chai v'krisus. That we learn from the Mishnah later on, which we'll get to in just a second. Eze mamzer, that's what the Mishnah says, on mem tes amud aleph. Kol sher basar shehu b'lo yavo. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says any relative who is, you know, prohibited minimally because of a Iser Lav produces a mamzer, and there's no Tvifas Kedushin. Rav Shimon HaTemani Omer, Kol Shechayavnov Koreis Bidei Shemayim. Halacha Kedvarev, Rav Shimon HaTemani disagrees. This is how we paskin. He says, not Chai De Lavin, it has to be a more Chomor Iser, Chai De Krisus. But if you have Chai De Krisus, then that produces a mamzer. There's no Tvifas Kedushin. So the Gemara says, V'dilma Kasa Simlon, Tana Krav Shimon HaTemani. In Kei Lishni Shalchavi Krisus, Krovas Grushasa Labali, El Shmamina Ayribo. This is all to suggest that really the Mishnah shouldn't read Krovas Chalutzasa, it should read Krovas Grushasa. Says the Gemara V'duma Liolam, Lo Ayribo. Maybe the Mishnah's not talking about Krovas Grushasa, you know, in the Reisha. The idea to turn a masu grushaso, venosa chalutzaso, krovas chalutzaso, toninami krovas grushaso. Right, the Mishnah is saying, you know, the Chacham disagree with all these three cases. There is a case they agree to that's kind of similar to these other cases, namely krovas grushaso, but that's the Barinochanami, Rabbi Akiva extended even to krovas chalutzaso. Elakovas Chalutzasu Rabbi Akiva Hava Mamzer. So the Gemara says, Amrav Chia Baraba Rabbi Yochanan Hayne Talmud Rabbi Akiva to Amar Kra Base Chalutzanal Akasav Kirao Beso. Since we say, you know, in the Psukim, part of the ceremony of Chalitza is, you know, Base Chalutzanal. So the word Beso. So we're calling. He's calling the chalutza beso, implying that even though he's chaletzes, that they have, you know, kind of the equivalent or quasi marital relate. It's like a divorce, you know, which was the zika is kind of like a marriage. In other words, so maybe Rabbi Akiva really holds that that krovas chalutzaso, like krovas gushaso, is a lav daraisa. And if that's the case, then, you know, then there's mamzer even in that case. So there's a debate in the Gemara whether or not Rabbi Akiva goes as far as to apply the impact of Chai Be'Lavin in terms of Tfisas Kiddushin and mamzer also to Krovas Chalutzaso. That's an argument. But what the takeaway from this Mishnah and Gemara is that Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Chai Be'Lavin are, you know, severe enough, or whatever you want to say, to trigger mamzerus, right, and to, you know, preclude tfisas kiddush. So this, the reference in the Gemara is to the next Mishnah, on Mem Tes Amud Aleph. You should look at that just for a minute. These are the main Makaros. Of course, the Gemara has parallels, especially in Masechet Kiddushin in the fourth parak, where they discuss, you know, Rabbi Akiva as well. But if you look here in the Mishnah, Mem Tes Amud Aleph, just these are the main Makaros. Here's where the Mishnah says, top of the page, Mishnah says, Eza hu mamzer, right? What's, you know, what is a mamzer? What constitutes a mamzer? You have a parallel Mishnah, like in Kiddushin, where the Mishnah discusses, you know, when is there no, you know, tisas kiddushin, right? Same idea. So ezu mamzer. So the Mishnah says kol she'er basar shehu b'lo yavo div Rabbi Akiva. This is what was quoted in the Gemara before. Any she'er basar. Look at Rashi. Kol she'er basar shehu b'lo yavo. Kol kurva shehi b'lav. If we're talking about kurva, she'er basar means kurva, right? So if you have a korva relationship, which is balav, v'afila im bakares, even though it's only balav, there's no kares, there's no death penalty, even a minashamayim death penalty, kigon, for example, anusas aviv. Let's say, he'll say his father, a person's father, had an out-of-marriage relationship. Right? If it was an in-marriage relationship, that would be Ashes Aviv, even if it wasn't his mother, meaning his stepmother, right, would be an Erva Kares, that's in Parshas Akrimos. However, at least in this view, Anusas Aviv, right, a woman that he has a relationship with outside of marriage, is only only Balav. So that's what, we'll see that from the Gemara. So Anusas Aviv Ukarab Yehuda, to have a Balav, Delo yigale knaf aviv, umachmas kurva, or a kurva relationship, kagon nosei chalutzaso, v'hava below yivne, right, v'hava lav de kurva, below kares, like he has a, it's his sister-in-law, who he had a zika, you know, relationship with, and he was choletzer. So that also, that's another example of a kurva relationship, which is only chayve labin. So nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva's view is that a mamzer is produced by a sher basar relationship of chai ve'lav. Shimon HaTemani, though, says, kol shechayav le'kares bidei shamayim. So look at Rashi on that. Avol nosei chalutzaso, which is only a lav, lo av a mamzer. Oh. So the Mishnah goes on to say, v'alacha kedvarav, and then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yeshua omer, kol shechayav le'misas bezdin. He thinks that the standard is even higher. It's not enough to have chai be'krisos. You have to have chai be'misos bezdin, meaning, not just, spiritual death penalty, but a court, imposed death penalty. That's a higher level of onesh and iser. Only that produces a mamzer, according to Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, Om Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Matzasi Megillas Yuchsin B'Yushalayim, the Kosova Ish Ploni Mamzer, Me Eishas Ish. So at least we know that, right? Meaning a child that is produced, in violating, the marriage contract, meaning Eishas Ish is Nivellas, somebody else and produces a child, that is a Mamzer. That, of course, is Chayde Misos Bezdin, not just Krisos. L'kayim divrei Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. And then the Mishnah goes on, Ishta Shemesa, Mutar Bachosa, Girsha, Mesa, Mutar Bachosa. It talks about Achos, Ishto, doesn't help us. So the Gemara, again, just elaborates a little more. My Talmud Rabbi Akiva, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Akiva that Chayde Labin produce a Mamzer? And as we noted before, notes visas kiddushin. It says, "Lo yikach ish es eishes aviv, v'lo yigale knaf aviv, knaf shera'a aviv." Even if he wasn't married, but if the father had a relationship with someone, then lo yigale. Any relationship the father had, even outside of marriage, right, prohibits the son from a future relationship. But on the level of chayve lavin. The Savala Kravina Dhamma Bandusa Savi Vakasav Medaber, the Havala Chaive Labin, the Samachlay, close to that Pasuk, it says, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bikal Hashem, Alma Mehani Hava Mamzer. That's the Makar to teach you that according to Rabbi Akiva, Chaive Labin is the standard for Mamzerus. Ula Rab Simoi, the Marbe Shar Chaive Labin, the Lav She'er, Ula Rab Yeshevav, Demarba filu chai beyase, nafkelu mi velo. Okay, it also says velo, that's a ribui. So these two gentlemen, Rabbi, Simoi and Rabbi Yesheba, they said that Rabbi Akiva went even further, right? Meaning, not only the pashtus of the Mishnah is, at least the Resha, is that Rabbi Akiva, didn't say that every chai be'lavin produce a mamzer. What he said was chai de lavin of she'er, meaning if there's a korva aspect to it. What do you mean korva? If this person had some connection to your father, because the father, that's a korva problem. But let's say there was a chai de lavin that had nothing to do with korva, right? For example, Amoni or Mitzri, where nothing to do with the personal relationship. So that, we'll look at Rashi. Rashi fleshes this out. L'Rab Simoi, B'Ksuvah Sevi Kiddushin, Min HaKol HaYosar Rabbi Akiva Mamzerim, Chutz, the exceptions are very fascinating. Chutz Me'almana L'Kohen Gadol, right? Which is also a lav. But Almana L'Kohen Gadol, even according to Rabbi Akiva, doesn't produce a Mamzer. She'osah Chalalin V'lo Mamzerim. But a grusha according to Edjo does, if you assume that it's not a share problem. Midikamar chutz me'almana alma afilu chai be'lavin shelo machmas korva marbe kegon machzu grushaso. Let's say machzu grushaso. That's not a korva problem, right? Mishani says ukegon nesina liyisrael, a mamzeres or a nesina, right? Those are lavin, but they have nothing to do with korva. The kaima. Below sischatin bam, ubishim mishiva umosu kigon amoni shenasabas Israel. All these, according to this expanded view of Rav Simai, expands Rabbi Akiva not just lavin shel she'er, but even regular lavin, with the exception maybe of almana l'kohen gadol, and we'll see in a moment maybe sota. Chai ve'asei from the Rabbi Yeshevav goes even further. One second, just says even chai ve'asei produce mamzerus. Mitzri, Oadomi, Kodin Gimbaldoros, Tiksiv, Dor Shlishi, Yavalahem, Velosheni, Velava, Bomachal, Ase, Ase. Ahodra of Yesheva, Nami Biksivos, Bo, Nitzoach, Alakavia, Ben Yosef, Alakiva, Ben Yosef, She Omer, Kol Shein Lobia, Be Yisrael, Avlad, Mamzer, even if it's only an Ase. Yeah, what do you want to ask?
Just had to apply that with a, why would that be Mamzer according to Rabia?
Well, it's, the exclusion is Almana Lekohen Gadol. So, you know. Yeah, well, if we get a chance, we'll go back. Why is Sotan excluded? It's all according to Rashi. Sotan, Rashi understands the Gemara, see in a moment, a continuation. But obviously, you know, the more, you know, rarefied, you know, the Iser, you know, the more maybe it's a different kind of an Iser. Meaning it's what, Grusha and Kohen Hedget, you say, well, for a Kohen, that's, you know, that's an unsuitable, you know, but Almana is suitable for a Kohen. So is the unsuitability of an Almana, you know, for a Kohen Gadol, just like one Madrega different than, you know, than a, you know, than a Grusha for a Kohen Hedget? Or is that like, no, that's just, it's almost like a Mitzvah Saseh idea.
You know.
What? No, he means that Almana, the Kohen Gadol, only produces Kalalim. It doesn't produce Mamzeros. But, yeah. Okay. So we'll see. So the Gemara says that is that's a sheet of Rabbi Akiva and the expansion of Rabbi Akiva by Rabbi Simai and Rabbi Yeshevav. V'shimena tomeni ha-temani savala k'rabanan v'amri v'shomeres yavam sh'alava kasa medaber. They interpret the pasuk differently. They say this pasuk isn't talking about anusas aviv. It's talking about Shomeres Yavam Shel Aviv, meaning his uncle's, you know, wife, or his uncle's wife, his uncle who died's wife, his father's Shomeres Yavam, his father's sister-in-law. That's Erba, that's Croesus, that's not Chayvei Lavin, right? So that's their view, the Havalei Chayvei Croesus, V'samach Lei Yavam Mamzer. Okay? So the debate whether or not Mamzer is produced by Chayvei Lavin, or maybe even less, you know, even L'Shalom B'She'er, or maybe even Essen, or requires at least Kares, depends on how you understand that particular case. Is it referring to Anus HaSaviv, which is Alav, or is it referring to, you know, his father's sister-in-law, meaning his uncle's, you know, previous wife.
Can the nephew do an Yibum?
What?
Can if the father, let's say, the father's not dead, can his son do Yibum on the aunt?
No, there's no Yibum on an aunt.
No, absolutely
not. Only Primat and Torah with...
At the bottom, you know?
No. Only brothers. Rabbi Yeshua, you know, who says that this is limited only to Chayvei Nisas Pesdin, Lichtav Rachmana Lo Yigaleh, you know, Lo Yikach Lamali, Elalav Hachikamar, Mi Lo Yikach Ad Lo Yigaleh Hava Mamzer, Tve Lo Hava Mamzer. So the limud of Rabbi Yeshua is to show you that it isn't, it's not even that, it's Dafka, you know, in a case of Eshes Aviv, not even, you know, the father's sister-in-law, meaning the uncle's wife, but we're talking about the father's wife, meaning the stepmother, and the stepmother is not just Chayvei Croesus, that's Chayvei Nisas Pesdin. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, the standards, so as you can see, you have a wide range of standards here. But, and then, just one more line that I'm interested in before we leave. Even though it's a very interesting topic, but we're not going to dwell on it too much. But then the Gemara says, Amrabaya hakomodim bibo ala nida. So it'll be helpful when we talk about nida. Hakomodim bibo, we'll revisit it. Bibo ala nida. The ala sota she'en avlad mamzer. That the child, you know, born, you know, from a prohibited, you know, a relationship with a nida is not a mamzer, neither is sota. Now, the neither is sota is according to the Chachamim or Rabbi Akiva. So, if you look at Tosus here, Tosus has a whole, Rashi here says that hakomodin beba ala sota is even Rabbi Akiva. So Tosis disagrees, at least initially. Pirish makutras afilu rabbi kibbut the poligar rabbanon the masisa mamasu gushasa v'kama ablad mamzer afugav the lav chay bilav and the she'erhu hocha besota moda. Okay. The kashal rabbi natan. Okay. The details are not important for now. The point is that for Rashi, even though sota is chay bilavin, and even if you hold that the problem, if chayvi lav, it applies even if it's not a lav de she'er, but according to Rashi's understanding, sota is different. Sota within the marriage, so therefore if he were to continue to have a relationship with her, it wouldn't be, a mam. That's an interesting question. Can have a mamzer, within the marriage itself. Right. Nida, everybody agrees, we'll get back to that. Everybody agrees that even though Nida is chayvi krisus, right? That, since there is also Tfisas Kiddushin, that there is no Mamzerus. And that's the Makar that the Gemara brings, and this is also the Gemara in Kiddushin. Nida da Tafsi ba Kiddushin, Shanem al Tihi Nidasa Alav, Afila Bishas Nidasa, Tafsi ba Kiddushin. Sota Nami. Nami da Tafsi ba Kiddushin. Tanya Mahachi Akamodin, Devala Nida, Vela Sota, Vel Shomeris Yavam, right? She'en Avlad Mamzer, Vabaya Shomeris Yavam is Apkalei, Ikirag, Ikishmuel. There's some question whether Shomeris Yavam, if somebody were to be Mekadesh, or whether the Kiddusha would be Tofes or not, and maybe it depends on that. Okay, so basically, we spent just a little bit of time getting the facts straight about what is it that produces Mamzerus, and Mamzerus is typically connected to also Tfisas Kiddushin. Good, fine. So, having said that, now let's look back at the first Mar Malkum on the sheets, or in the Gemara, Taf Tes. Let's go back to Tes Omed Aleph for a minute, and the interesting discussion of Tosis. So Tosis on Tes Omed Aleph, bottom Tosis, asks the following question. Tosis points out, Hare Isur, everybody have it? Tesom and Aleph, it's also in the Mar Makomos. Hare Isur Mitzvah, the Isur Kedushin, the Pali Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbanan. So, Tosis says, Bechol Dukhti, in all the different places in Shas, Pshita Leila Shas, the Talmud Bavli seems to assume, right, the Chai De Lav and the Rabbi Akiva, the Amar in Kedushin Tosin B'chai Be'Lavin, Rabbi Kiva's din, that there's no Tfisas Kedushin B'chai Be'Lavin, and I'll add, and there is Mamzeros, what impact does that have on Yibum and Chalitza? Right? So he points out that if you look carefully in a couple of Gemaras, it seems like we're assuming that according to Rabbi Akiva, if there's no Tfisas Kedushin and there's Mamzeros, there's also no Yibum and Chalitza. La b'nei chalitza v'yibum ninu, kemo chai v'krisus hacha. Now that word kemo, is a tricky word. Meaning it's totally, innocent in its content. Meaning just like, right, the Mishnah tells us, that the arayos of chai v'krisus, we paskin, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, right? We paskin that what's koveya for Tfisas Kiddushin and Mamzerus? Chai v'krisus. So just like our, the words, kemo chai v'krisus hacha, right, mean, just like our chai v'krisus are excluded from Yibum and Chalitza, right, so too Rabbi Akiva's, lack of Tfisas Kiddushin and Mamzerus, which is chai v'lavin, mistama, are also excluded from Yibum and Chalitza. Oh. And that's what the Gemara seems to say. Uba Ha'arel, the Gemara later on Ayin Tesom Beis, Gabe Psua Daka, Kruz Shafcha. Psua Daka and Kruz Shafcha are cases of Chai De'Lavin, and the Gemara seems to assume that there's no Yibum and Chalitza if that's the, if that's the circumstance. If the candidate, for Yibum is one in which there would be this kind of a law violation, that there would be no Yibum and there would be no Chalitza. Fine. In other words, that we're able to substitute what we think for the Chachamim, for Croesus, we think for Rabbi Akiva in Chai Delavin. But that's what's always tricky, of course, as we'll see in a moment. And that's why Tosus asks this, you know, breakthrough question. The Temelari. That my law mina nami Rabbi Akiva, the Lesi Aseva, Lidchi Lo Sase. Meaning, it's all well and good to say, you know, that if there's an argument between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim about, you know, Tzvisas Kedushin Emams, or whether it's Chai V'Lavin and Croesus, that, okay, good, so if we paskin like the Chachamim, so whatever we say about Chai V'Croesus for Yibam and Chalitza, we automatically apply to Rabbi Akiva on the level of Chai V'Lavin, except there's a huge difference. And that is, we have a rule which we know is applied in Yibum, and that is, Asay Doche Los Asay. Not just in Yibum, it's a rule in Kol Torah Kula. That if you have a clash between an Asay and a Lav, that the mitzvah, all things being equal, takes priority. So if we say Asay Doche Los Asay, now we can't apply that to the Erev of Croesus for the Chachamim, because but that's the Gemara before, and that Gimel Lamed Beis. Ein aseh docha lo saseh sheyesh bakares. But even Rabbi Akiva agrees that aseh is docha lo saseh. So even though Rabbi Akiva, so this is like a perfect, you know, storm. It's a perfect litmus test, right? We have no tfisas kiddushin and mamzeres, in that sense, chai ve'lavin equals chai ve'krisus, except that aseh is docha lo saseh. So, on the one hand, you have a candidate who's mufka from Kiddushin, who's such an illicit relationship that it would produce mamzeras, and at the same time, there's no impediment, or there shouldn't be impediment, in terms of the legality or the permissibility of the ma'isavia. So, Tosus leaves it b'tzarachiyun. Wow. Okay. However, I mean, you can't just leave this bitzar chiyun, right?
You know, that case over there.
Which case?
No lahakim shem lachim, right?
Okay, the Gemara discusses that. Right, they discuss that. They discuss that there. Okay, we'll leave that out for the moment. You know, the Gemara says, hoyashasa kosher, hoyashasa kosher. That's what those Gemaras are about. The machlokas and the mission already there in Ayin, Tessam and Aleph. You know, assuming that there is Yibum in every other respect, you know, what would be the situation? So, no, you're right, but they that's something that, if you look at the Gemaras there, you'll see that they deal with it. Oh, so Tosus doesn't give an answer. When the Ramban, here, now look back in our sheets, when the Ramban formulates this question, he adds an interesting line. Look at the Ramban for a moment. And then we'll see the Itos Rosh in a second. Hare Isa Mitzvah, this is line 20. Hare Isa Mitzvah, Isa Kedusha de Palig, or de Pligi, Rabbi Akiva Rabbanon, de Rabbi Akiva Lomayam. Okay. Hiksu Batosvos, Minolon, de Rabbi Akiva Lomayamin. How come the Gemara seems to say in a few places there's no Yibam and Chalitza according to Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that there's Mamzeiros and lack of Tisa's Kedushin? Name it the Asi Ase, but the Chalos Ase. And then Ramban adds, right, a very important line. Do afilu chai ve'krisus delo tafsi behu kiddushin hava mina delivnu ilav mishim delo ase ase v'dachal os ase tekares. Now that is like, and you know, a very, very critical line. You have a...
Sorry.
Yeah. If not, I can't. Oh, you have not. Meaning, lest you think this is just about a clash between the formal, you know, status. Oh, on the one hand, you have disqualifications of the magnitude of... You have disqualifications of the magnitude of, you know, Mamzerus... And no Tzvisas Kiddushin. On the other side, it seems like there would be a technical permissibility to go through with the Maisa Mitzvah. What do we do with that clash? What's important? The ability to do the act of Yibum technically better, or to the fact that the candidate, you know, appears to be, you know, tainted as an Ereva. Right? That's kind of how I was introducing these five cases, right, in a certain way, and that it's not wrong. But the point is, what the Ramban adds with his line is, and this is something we talked about in previous Urim, Ramban's saying, as far as this is concerned, right, you know, the Gemara was weighing, you know, the Gemara wanted to know why can't an Erva, you know, be a candidate for Yibum? Forget about even Ketur Tzara. Why can't you fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, you know, with an Erva, with an Achos Ishto, or Aim, you know, Imo, or Aim Aviv, or Aim Bito, maybe, I don't know. That's what the Gemara was weighing. But then the Gemara said, no, you can't. But why can't you? Because Ein Ase Docha Los Ase Sheesh Bakaris. Right? But if Ase was Docha Los Ase Sheesh Bakaris, that would have worked. Even though, objectively, the candidate is someone who, you know, produces Mamzerus and is not subject to Tvisas Kiddushin. So the Ramban just, you know, instead of just asking the question, how come we care about the status or stature, you know, why shouldn't we care about the heter? In addition to that, he's saying, and we see from the parallel, you know, case of the Chachamim Sky Vekrisus, that Lu Yitzuyar, we had that luxury of having that discrepancy, you know, namely of having a possibility of Yibum Beheter, even though there's no Tfisas Kiddushin and there's Mamzerus normally, that would have been enough. Now, if you remember when we discussed this question, you know, before we get to what Ramban says, I raise this point, I point out, I believe, that Reb Chaim in the stencils says, like, you know, the whole Gemara is so tamua. Like, the Gemara really thought that just because it would be a heter yibum, you would ignore the fact that there's no, you know, tfisas ishus? Shocking. You know? And I was trying to suggest that that's maybe why the Rambam, you know, kind of ignores the simple, you know, reading of the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara. If you remember, the Gemara basically said, oh, since Ein Ase Docha Los Ase Sheish Bakares, says the Gemara, if you don't even need a limud to exclude Erva, because how would you include it? There would always be an Iser Liabe. But the Rambam, in Perek Vav Hilchos Yibum, as we discuss, and in Pirsha Mishnayos, kind of just ignores the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis, it's a Gemara in Chesam and Al. Rashi also, in Sanhedrin, seems to ignore the Gemara. And pretends, like Bar says, like, he brings a Mokar for the exclusion of Erva. But, you know, in the Rambam, in Pirshim Shai Space Amid Aleph, and in Yad HaChazaka, it's explicit. He has, in one case, it's, you know, it's Aleha, the Gemara's Makar. In another case, the Rambam kind of made up his own Makar based on the Gemara Daf Rebbe's Makar Dechaz. But he, you know, he tweaked it in a slightly different way. The nature of the Makar is, if there's no Tisas, says Ulakachaloni Isha, Misha, you know, Nitan, you know, the Tvisas Kiddushin, Yasazeh, you know, Erva, you know, which is not Nitan the Tvisas Kiddushin. So the Rambam, unlike the Gemara, we talked about this a lot already, instead of the Gemara would seem to say you don't need a Makar in two places, the Rambam has a Makar. And what is the Makar? That there's no Tvisas Kiddushin. Almost like, but didn't the Gemara say that if Ase was Dochalos Ase Sheish Bakares, you know, then even though there's no Tvisas Kiddushin, that would have worked? So in addition to providing a makar when the Gemara seems to say you don't need one, the makar itself seems to defy, you know, had it been the Ase Docha Lo Ase Sheish Bak, right? And that the Chaim was bothered by it. He didn't say, oh, that's Pshat Nirah, I'm saying that. But whatever. So now it comes to a head in a way in Rabbi Akiva. It's the same problem for Rabbi Akiva, right? Because for Rabbi Akiva, It's even more acute in a way, because we do say Ase Docha Lo Ase. But folks say, oh, what would we have said if Ase Docha Lo Ase? But so that's what the Ramban is saying. You know, how could you just not say Aseh Dechalos Aseh? We were even willing to say that if there's a man to Amar holds Aseh Dechalos Aseh Sheish Bakares, that even for the Chachamim we would have said the Zibum, despite the absence of Tzitzas Kiddushin and Mamzer. I'm just saying, the Rambam wanted to avoid all that in Achanami. Right? Oh. Anyways, that is a very good point, but then the Ramban kind of ignores it, you know, with the Leis Breira, because remember, it's not like anybody has an option here. There are explicit Gemaras that say that according to Rabbi Akiva, even though it's allowed and you should apply Aseh Dechalos Aseh, there are explicit Gemaras that say that there's a Ptur Yiva V'chalitza. Right? So what do you do? Says the Ramban, a bit tentatively, Yesh Lomar, Dilu Rabbi Akiva, Goli Rachmana Ba'arayos, V'hu Adin, L'chai ve'lavin, the kol delo tafsi kedushin, mafki zika. He's not really answering, but what he's saying is, right, there would in theory be aseh dechalos aseh, but that's not good. Rabbi Akiva, you know, understands that the Torah thinks that the candidacy of an erva, even when there's the possibility of a heter, maisa yibum, the candidacy of an erva in which there's no tfisas kiddushin is not viable. Wow. Okay. And then he says, you know, why is it viable? Right? The kol delo tafsi kiddushin mafki zika. Because zika is a kind of an ishus. And if there's no tfisas kiddushin, there's no chalos ishus, there's no chalos zika. Which is what Rambam actually says, la halacha. Then he adds, Bakati kasha haisvara hechashamina leva Rabbi Akiva the makshinan minei lehedja. He's saying that's obviously what Rabbi Akiva holds, but like where did he get it from? It's against the simple pshat of the Gemara about even chavi krisus if you held aseh dechalos aseh bakares. Moreover, even if it's true, you know, is it so obvious? You know, that makshinan minei lehedja, that people say, oh, Rabbi Akiva, it's chayve lavin, there can't be yibum. You know? So you have to assume that, you know, he holds this thing against this, the chachamim in the simple reading of the Gemara. Right? And that it's so obvious, you know, that, you know, you can take it, you know, as fact and use it to ask questions on other things. I don't have an answer. I'm just telling you what the Ramban said. Okay. Now, Tosar Rosh says something similar without all of the misgivings. Again, if you look on the previous piece, same question. The Tema. Look at line 11. The Tema. Minale ha the Talmuda. How does the Gemara know that Rabbi Akiva would exclude Yivam and Chalitza and Chai Be'lavin? Do the Inim Tvisa Kedushin or Inim Mamzerus? Masha Rabbi Akiva Chai Be'Lavin K'Chai Be'Krisos. So Le'inyan Yibo Mamai Lo Kama Rabbi Akiva V'Lei Si'aseh V'Lidchi Lo Sa'aseh. V'yesh Mitartzim Shema Kim L'Talmuda. It's post-Ramban, so he probably is working off Ramban. Maybe the Gemara has some Nesora. The Rabbi Akiva Sphira Le'Ka Rebbe on Dafkes. The Mapik Arayis Mi V'Lekocha Lo Le'isha. That is the Rambam's kind of makar. Right? The Chaybe Lavin, Lav Bar Lakicha, Libid Rabbi Akiva. Then he says, V'ef Shalom Arkein. How can you say that? The Perkal Godla, Midid Rabbanan Demunvas, Hani Rabbi Akiva Darish Torah Achas, Lakid Rival, Bekiva Dendalik Nafik Chaybe Krisis Medieval, and Kain Darish Litzaros, Velesne Hadar Rabbi. He's saying, it's hard to say that Rabbi Akiva holds like the Drasha of Rabbi. And the Gemara itself even rejected that Rabbi held that way. Rabbeinu Meir Kasav, probably Ram Rittenberg, the Shema Kivin Rabbi Akiva Darish Lo Yigalek Knap Aviv Lanusa Saviv Iskash Liish Eisha Saviv the Siv Baukra Ma Eisha Saviv Erba the La Bas Chalitza V'Yibum Afanusa Saviv Nami. Maybe Rabbi Akiva had some whole other, the Gemara that we read before, you know, was like a mokar to him that there's a shame Erba in Chai De'Lavin, and that that's good enough. Okay, cool. So let me just say one other thing. What do you do with either way, what do you do with Ramban's question? So there's an interesting letter in the Chidush Agriz, which I produced here. They don't have it in the Bar Ilan, so I tried to scan it. You're right, my finger came out. Okay. Or so several fingers on what that was there. So there are two interesting pieces in the Grizz. One of them, I'm not sure if this was to the Rav. Some of these letters are to the Rav when he was, you know, exchanging letters with his uncle. I'm not sure if this one is. But if you look on page 164, the last page, if it isn't to the Rav, it's to somebody else. So it sounds like there's, I'm not sure if, you know, don't have the other letter, right? So he's just responding. But it could very well be, it doesn't really matter. The suggestion is helpful, you know, and at least it's a question to raise objectively anyway. You don't even need the letter for this. You know, maybe to at least solve one part of the Ramban's question. What did the Ramban ask? Ramban says, after all, right, even when we were thinking, you know, that Ase Dokalos Ase Shirish Bakares, right? Even then we were thinking that would be good enough, even though there's no Tfisas Kiddushin and there's Mamzerus, even from a higher level. Right? So why would Rabbi Akiva's Maskana be more Chomor, let's say, than the Gemara's Havanina? Right? So in this letter, Rabbi's responding, says, Masha Kasapta L'chalek V'inyan Tfisas Kiddushin Ben Chai V'Krisis L'Chai V'Lavin Eino nira be'einai hachilo kazeh. Okay? Rak pekulu hodelo tafsi kiddushin vishum ha'isarhu. Right? V'chai be'labin shavim v'chai be'krisis pezeh be'ein l'chalik b'nayu. Okay, so you have to read between the lines. Like, what was the suggestion and what's he, you know, what's he arguing? What's he suggesting is wrong? Oh. So it seems like the suggestion was the following, and others have made this suggestion as well. I also thought of this suggestion. The whole yesod, right, is of the question, you know, is based on the assumption that, you know, midi chachamim nishma l'Rabbi Akiva, or midi Rabbi Akiva nishma l'chacham. In other words, Rabbi Akiva and the chacham have an argument. What constitutes tfisas kiddushin and mamzer? Is it chayvi lavin or is it chayvi priestess? Right? And therefore, whatever is true for one is true for the other when you plug in each of their criteria. However, this is a classic, right? That's where you run into some questions. Because it's very possible that the argument between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is not just a technical argument, what level of illicit relationship, you know, is precludes Tfisas Kiddushin and produces Mamzeres. Maybe the real argument between them is, what is it that produces Mamzerus and the lack of Tfisas Kiddushin? So, like, even when you think about it objectively, like, is it the shame erva? Right? The status of erva excludes Kiddushin and creates Mamzerus? Or is it the chomer ha'aveira? You did such a terrible aveira, right, this Avera cannot produce a Kiddushin. This Avera produces Mamzerus. Right? And then again, well, earlier in the year we were talking about the Rambam and that. I kind of made this suggestion as well. I think I mentioned then that we'll get to this letter. So maybe the idea is as follows. And that is that maybe the argument between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim isn't just a technical argument. They both agree about the nature of Tzvisas Kiddushin and Mamzerus. The argument is the threshold, what level constitutes what? There's two possibilities. What level constitutes Erva? Or what level constitutes a sufficiently Chamor, you know, Bia Asura? Or maybe no, that's good for the argument between them. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva knows that Chayvei Lavin can't compete with Chayvei Krisus in terms of the Chumra Soavera, right? And especially if you consider the possibility, you know, of Rabbi Yeshoved, whatever it is that Even Essen, you know, would produce. So what is it? Maybe for Rabbi Akiva, it's the shame erva. As long as there's some sort of an improper partnership, right? There's no tisas kedushin and there's mamzeros. But for the chachamim, maybe it's not the shame erva. Maybe it's the iser chamor that you violate. Now the truth is, I think, I just don't want to get into all the issues of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. You might have suggested the opposite too. You might have said, but for this particular purpose, I'm going this route. You might have said, oh, in terms of Parsha Sarayos, of Achrimos, and to really qualify as Erva, that requires Chayvei Krisis. After all, none of the Chayvei Lavin are in Kedoshim or in Achrimos. But if all you require is Bi Asura, the truth is that, you know, Rabbi Akiva is a bigger Kiddush on two levels. It's more Mechudash that that's considered Erva. And it's more, if that's what he's saying, and it's more mechudash, that it's a chomer enough iser that it would produce mamzerus and it would impede tzvisas kiddushin. But if you want to answer this particular question, I'm going to go back to the first point, and that's the one that Ravelvel seemed to be excluding. Ravelvel's saying, don't tell me that there's a qualitative difference between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. You know, in, according to both of them, the mechayiv, in terms of mamzer, and the impediment of tzvisas kedushin is the chomer ha'iser. They just argue, what level of chomer ha'iser? Because obviously what the other person was suggesting, I don't know if it was in connection to this problem, but I'll apply to the Ramban. What did the Ramban say? The Ramban said, listen, why wouldn't you play Aseh Do Kolos Aseh for Rabbi Akiva? Right? Well, because it's Erba. Right? It's certainly erva and more, you know, for the chachamim. And yet, if we had paskined aseh dochalos aseh sheish bakares, we'd say it. But the answer might very well be that that's good for the argument between Rabbi Akiva and the chachamim. Rabbi Akiva says the problem is a problem of shem erva. It's not a problem of the chomer. If it was really a problem, the Chomer Iser, it would only apply to Kares. But for the Chachanim, it's the Chomer Iser which creates the Tzvisas, the lack of Tzvisas Kedushin and the Shem Bamzeiros. So if you hold Aseh Dochalos Aseh, especially if you hold Hotra, but even if you hold Dechuya, even if it's Mutter, it's not going to produce Bamzeiros, and in that case it's not going to be an impediment to Tzvisas Kedushin. But the Shem Erva would still exist, especially if it's a dechuya. So the answer would be, for Rabbi Akiva's perspective on mamzerus and tefisos kiddushin, right, aseh dochalos aseh doesn't really help you. Only helps you for the chachamim. So if it had been that aseh dochalos aseh sheish bakares, then in the chanami. When we discussed this earlier, I had another suggestion, which would go the other way, and that is that gufa, whether aseh dochalos aseh sheish bakares, that affects how the chachamim themselves look at the problem of tzvisas kedushin and mamzeros and kares, this question. But I don't want to get into that at the moment. Anyway, this is the idea. There's one other point, which I'll pick up with next time, and then we'll move back to Eish Hashish, and that is that in the Chiddush HaGriz and Hilchos Yibum B'Chalitza, in the other piece, he has the following discussion. He points out, we'll see this next week, that Tosas on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, which we're not going to look at right now, on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Tosas has a line in which they mention Rabbi Akiva, and it's clear that they think that according to Rabbi Akiva, not only is Chayvei Lavin excluded from Yibum and Chalitza, but there's a Petur Tzara as well. So Ravelvel says, he thinks that's very difficult. He says, it's one thing to say, you know, that Rabbi Akiva, you know, equates Chayvei Lavin with the Chachamim's Chayvei Krisus, and Notisas Kedushin, there's Mamzer, right? He says, it's one thing to say that, you know, and to say, therefore, there's no Yibum V'Chalitza. But to say there's a Ptur Tzara, says Rav Elbel, for that you need a Shem Erva. And there's no shame erva in chadilavan of Rabbi Akiva, like the opposite of what I was suggesting to Gabi the other problem before. Because it's not in Parshas Arayos. And Sarah depends on the shame erva. So it's one thing for Rabbi Akiva to say, you know, there's no yibam in chalitza. But he says, it's hard for me to accept Tosis's view that there's also would be a p'tur tzara. But that, again, but for the Chachamim, there's a p'tur tzara, because even though they both are talking both about, you know, mamzer and tfisas kiddushin, implicitly, what he's saying, if anything, I'd say the opposite. He'd say it the opposite way. In other words, you know, as far as, you know, violating, you know, the Iser Bia, so that's what's Kobea, that there's no Tfisas Kedushin, and that's what's Kobea, the Mamzeres. But Shame Erva is something that's limited, Dafka, the Chai Bikris. So you have these, like, two opposite qualitative distinctions, one to explain, to get out of the Ramban problem, and the other to explain Rav Elbel himself, you know, why he disagrees with Tosfos on Daf Yud. I'll speak, like, another minute about that next time, and then we'll move on to Eishes Ish.